Thank you very much for being with us for this third hour of the Internet Advisor. And as I say, this is kind of the one that I think, Gary, I would say we've been on now for 17 years. This is what we started doing, which was answering people's questions.
That's right. Well, we always had two goals, two objectives with the show. One was to highlight great technology, help people use the Internet better and get around the Internet better and you know, learn the new technologies, new websites and whatnot. And that's really kind of the first hour. And we did that for the first 2 hours of the show. Mm-hmm. And then we've always answered people's questions. Right. And it's changed. We were talking about modem initialization strings and how to get on using modems when we first got started. And the technology's changed. We've kept up with it. And but this is the best, you know, I mean, both hours are great. But this is an hour where we really get to help. And when people call in, they actually many times ask a question that somebody else is having a problem with. And we get to help a lot of people by answering a question that, the one person calling in.
God, that really threw me off. I thought the second hour was created solely to give me and Ed something to do on Saturdays.
Well, it certainly does that, but it's probably not solely for that reason.
All right, here's the number. 800-859-0957. Now, by the way, for those of you who may be listening through this as a podcast or a recorded version, and that will be eventually, you can also go to internetadvisor.net and on the Contact Us button, click on that, and you can send us an email with your question as well. But right now, the lines are open. It's live time to give us a call right now. And let's go to our first caller, who is Robert from Warren. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Robert. How are you doing? All right, hang on a second. You know, I think what happened is our engineer just stepped out as I decided to take a phone call in. So, Robert, hang on. We'll be having you on in just a moment. Again, our number is 800-859-0957.
Well, you know, Foster, while we're waiting, you know, can I do a shameless plug?
Please.
Sir, what the heck?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, tomorrow on January 11th, we'll be having our monthly Mac group meeting. And this week, our topic, we're going to have a professional fine artist named Dan Derek. Dan's coming in to show us how to...
Dan. Good old Dan.
Dan will be in. He'll be showing us how to work with Photoshop through workflows.
Excellent.
And take what might be a less than average picture and make it look like a really beautiful picture. And so over the holidays, when you took all those pictures of family and friends and you want to make them look really pretty so that you can decorate next year's Christmas cards with them, this would be a meeting to come out to see. And you can see all that information at macgroup.org, or you can link to it off our site, internetadvisor.net, and you'll have all the information as far as times and location.
Thank you very much. All right, now let's go to Robert in Warren. How you doing, Robert?
Thanks, sir. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I'm glad we could get this hooked up. What is your concern? How can we help you?
I'm going to be getting a new computer pretty soon.
Oh, good.
And my printer will not work on it because there's no drivers. And I would like to know how to use my old computer as a print server because it's got the drivers in it.
Now, you're saying that you're saying the new computer will not have the drivers?
No, this is an old HP LaserJet, and the drivers stop at Windows XP.
What type of LaserJet is it? Because what HP has done is they've created universal print drivers for most of their printers. I mean, they're not providing specific drivers. I'm wearing my HP shirt. For about 3 years, I worked for HP when they absorbed EDS, and now, of course, I work for General Motors. And I was confused at that time. I'm like, why are they creating these universal printers? Give me one for my HP LaserJet 6P or 5P. And you could not download them from HP. What they've done is they've made a universal print driver that supports hundreds of their product lines.
Oh, and you go to the HP site for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but just out of curiosity, what is the model number?
It's the LaserJet 1000.
Wow, well, that is a little bit outdated.
Yeah, but it works. It works fantastically well.
Right, and exactly. At that time, HP made some of the best laser products for consumers. And I still have my LaserJet 6P, and it's of that, just after that generation. Just indestructible.
I have printed thousands of pages on this, and it's never malfunctioned, not one time.
Yeah, your
older computer that you have, is that an XP computer?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Can he set it up as a print server?
Yeah, yes, you can, but what's going to happen is it's not like your printer or your newer computer sends the job to your your old computer, your old computer processes it and sends it. It doesn't. In the Microsoft environment, what happens is that if you set up your old XP system as a print server, its job is to grab, it's going to provide XP drivers, and you have to configure it with Windows Vista, Windows 7, and Windows 8 drivers, you know, on that Windows XP system if you want to support any of those systems.
So he's better off just going with the universal print
drivers. Yeah, okay, I'll look for those universal drivers.
And I hope they work. And you might want to search the forums, like say, just say, you know, search Windows 7, Windows 8, how do I print to an HP LaserJet 1000? And someone might be able to say, you know, use this LaserJet printer driver. You know,
I did find one that suggested like a Coversa printer or something like that. But I just haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to look that up. Write us an email on that. Let us know how you go on your search for that. That's very curious.
Okay, hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, great question to ask and a great way to start our program with a good question that could help a whole lot of you who may have some of those older machines and have things like printers that really work well with it. You're getting a brand new computer, how do you have those things work with it? Okay, here's the number again, 800-859-0957. And Pat and Toledo will be with you in just a moment to help you with your question. And we're looking forward to your question. Welcome to the best part of the Internet Advisor from My Money, and that is when we get to talk to you. And if you don't call, we can't talk to you. By the way, our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And as Gary said at the beginning of the program, very often the question you ask can help a whole lot of other people. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in studio waiting to ask your question, whether it's about Windows, about phones, about the Internet, about Macs, about you name it. We got people in here who have handled hands-on.
And Ed and Cal both came up with that universal printer, so print driver.
You also saw something on Tom's Hardware, though.
Well, I saw Tom's Hardware also had it for download as well, but right from the HP site.
Yeah. If you go to HP.com and search for universal print driver for Windows, or even better, use universal print driver for his HP 1000 printer, it'll point him to the universal print driver, and then he just picks the operating system of choice, whether it's 7, 8, or 8.1, and then he can just download it from there, and that should take care of his problem for him.
Yeah, very good.
And Tom's Hardware is something that that we've recommended. I mean, it's a good site, and so I searched that and found basically the same thing.
What do you use Tom's Hardware for generally, guys?
As a reference point when you're looking for information for answers?
It's accurate, right?
It's accurate. And so whenever I do a Bing search or a Google search and I'm scrolling through the list of answers that I've phrased as a question, one of the first few hits would be Tom's Hardware. It's the first one I click on.
Okay.
You know, there are more reputable sites out there than others. Then why would I want to go to a user forum when you got any Joe or Jane out there that's giving their opinion, most likely wrong, or
many
guess
times,
many
yeah.
times wrong. And so I like going to that site.
So when we do have to go to a forum, we don't take the first time you hear an answer as the gospel, right? We have to triangulate, see if like three or four people have come up with the same answer, and hopefully not referencing
the
same wrong source.
Follow the thread down a ways, because you may find people say, well, I took your suggestion, but it didn't work for me. And then
somebody else will pop in and go, well, here's the right answer.
Yeah, exactly.
And even before I go to forums, I always go to the manufacturer first.
Good.
Because that generally will have the information that I'm looking for. And if the manufacturer has a forum that's running on it, generally there's always some sort of technician that will chime in when
that's
someone
right.
is off base right. to try right. and correct it.
And right. one thing that we do with the tool set that Cal and Ed, you guys have spent a fair amount of time keeping updated, and that is going to reputable sites.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. And that's in our toolkit, by the way. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you will find links to all sorts of things, but the toolkit's on there, and it's got lots of great hardware that you can download. Okay, the number again is 800-859-0957. You may be just passing along, and first time you've heard us, a good time for you to give us a call, and let's get out and say hello to Pat from Toledo. Hi, Pat, and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, guys. I hope that you can help me.
Okay.
I'm going to get a Windows phone, and we can argue about what those kind of things are or whatever afterwards.
No, don't worry about that.
But I think I'm going to like the phone. I've not had one before, but I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
But I have two problems. I'm looking at two phones, the HTC the M81 for Windows,
mm-hmm.
or the Lumia Icon. The problem that I have mm-hmm. is that Verizon took the Icon off their site. As a matter of fact, right now, they have no Windows phones on their site.
Oh, lovely.
But if I go to Microsoft's website,
mm-hmm.
they say that when you look for something for Verizon, it still has the Icon listed.
Oh.
And so I want to, I guess my question is, how much you guys know about the different phone companies to say if I get the Icon, I'll be able to use it on the Verizon system, or because my concern is if I get that one, you know, halfway through the process, they'll drop
sure.
the whole thing and I won't have a connection anymore, you know?
Yep. Is Verizon currently your provider?
Yes, it is.
Would you consider another provider?
Well, no, my whole family's on Verizon, so it would get into a lot of different things. You know, right now, we don't get charged for calling or talking to one another
because
we're all on Verizon's system,
yeah.
where
yeah.
if I got off of it, then my bill would probably go up some.
Okay. Cal, you were going to say something?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would contact Verizon directly and say to them, you know, are you guys carrying this phone? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have done that, and they are not.
Well, yes, they're not carrying it on the website. The question is, will they support it if you purchased it from Microsoft?
Yes,
because they used to carry it. My wife still has a 2006, believe it or not, Razor.
Oh, yeah.
Razor phone from Verizon, the pink one, and she
mm-hmm.
loves it, and she won't get a smartphone. And Verizon gives us hell every time that we haven't updated it. But we're still running that sucker until they, you know.
That's a really good question. Cal?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was going along with Ed, what he was saying. You have to find out whether or not they're going to support the phone. If they're not going to support the phone, then you're going to end up buying something that's going to end up being a brick for you. So find that out first. If that comes out the way you want it, great, then go ahead and buy the phone. If not, you might want to start looking at a different provider if you're hell-bent on having the Windows phone.
And may I ask, and I know I was not going to do this because of the way you started, but what is the reason that you would want the Windows phone? And you seem adamant about it. I'm just curious as to the reason.
Well, it's just, I mean, I can go in a Verizon store and ask them, do you have any icons or whatever, or
mm-hmm.
is this the only Windows phone you have? And they'll say, no, we as a matter of fact, we would try to talk people out of buying an Icon or buying a Windows phone altogether. One of you guys said a couple weeks back that you have an Apple phone because it's not an Android. I believe the same thing for Windows.
Good. Now, by the way, Gary's question was a legitimate one. Why Windows? If you want Windows, and we can go on forever about this, but if you want Windows, I would actually say, I would suggest the HTC. Now, by the way, my wife has a Windows phone. She has the Lumia 1520, the huge one.
Mm-hmm.
I've tested them for AT&T, and I love the Lumia phones, but the HTC is a beautiful phone. And it's a wonderful piece of equipment. The speakers around the front, great speakers on it.
Navigation you were impressed with, weren't you?
Oh, navigation is wonderful. Now,
I don't even think it's the issue is the phone. The hardware is he's already said he knows who he wants. His issue is finding a vendor that's going to support it.
No, he found a vendor that would support it. His problem is that when he goes into the stores, the employees are discouraging him from using the Microsoft product line.
Initially.
And so what he's done is he's taking a stance. I want to support Microsoft. I want to walk into a store.
Well, we haven't heard why he wanted to do it yet. We interrupted him.
He just said that.
Yeah, actually, I kind of just led up to that point that I can use. I have a Microsoft computer at home.
Yep.
Yep.
And
we all
it's
do.
Got 8. It's got 8.1 already on it.
Yep.
Oh.
And I have no trouble. Where a lot of people seem to have trouble working it, I don't have any trouble at all.
Good for you.
Okay. Yep. And where my wife is an Apple fanboy.
Okay.
I mean, and she's got Apple phones. She's got Apple
Apple T-shirts, Apple socks,
iPad. Yeah, that kind of stuff. and most of my family has Apple, and that's another thing.
And Dad wants
to get
be
a
different.
Windows phone. And I just like the idea of doing that.
Just
now, you said something important. You like it. And I did the same thing with my wife. She's using Windows 8.1 on her on her desktop. So we went into the AT&T store and said, honey, look for the phone you're most comfortable with. She ended up with the Lumia 1520, which is huge. She liked
the keyboard.
Yeah,
my wife got the 6 Plus.
And it was it was very easy for her to do that because it was the same paradigm, the same look and feel as her desktop was. So it worked very well. And that's what you're saying as well. So
if you follow Microsoft on the website, I like the idea of eventually coming in to where the phones and the websites and the laptop computers and everything like that will be all on the same system eventually.
By the way, if you stick around and listen to us on, I think it's the 24th of January, we're going to have people in from Microsoft talking about precisely that, where the phones and some of the tablets are coming together. Go for the HTC. I think that's the kind of thing we have. It's great hardware, and it runs that Windows system for you, okay?
Okay.
All right,
Matt,
take care. And more calls coming in from Jeff and from Don and from you in just a moment here. Thank you for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Just quickly, internetadvisor.net is our homepage. And on there, you're going to find a wealth of information. All of the notes from today's show. And on Sunday nights, we post the podcast, which has not only the entire 3 hours of our program, which you can download and listen to at your leisure, I also break the program up into its individual hours, in some cases into the individual content. And you'll be able to get those, for instance, Rick Broyd of the last hour talking about the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, or Paul Eisenstein talking about the North American International Auto Show. And you will find, in addition, when you go to internetadvisor.net, you click on podcasts. You can find past podcasts. You can also click on the toolkit, and you'll find a lot of resources that Ed and Cal have put in there to help people. So our number again, 800-859-0957. And by the way, I put a link on there to the Mac group. If you look on that under our third hour, you can click on that, and that will take you to, just click on Mac group meeting, and you'll find out more about the upcoming meetings and some of the content.
I just love how you say at your leisure. I can see myself at home right now in a chaise lounge with a cup of hot chocolate just listening to the Internet Advisor.
At 11 degrees, you want to have a hot cup of hot chocolate,
don't
you? Oh,
yeah. So pull your computer close. We're
in the chaise lounge near the fireplace or something.
All right. Don from Port Huron, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Good to have you on here. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, sir. I hope you can put up with 101 questions, or maybe even easier than 101.
Oh, we like those. We got a chance of answering them correctly. This is good.
Anyway, to give you a little background, I have a UVerse provider. Is that what you call it?
Yes, UVerse. Yes. Yep. Uh-huh.
And I got a Dell 17-inch desktop, and it was my wife's. She's gone, unfortunately. So she was doing all the computer work, and I'm just hanging in the end here.
I got you.
But my grandkids come over and say, well, you should do this, and they do things on here. I don't know what they do. That's the questions I want to ask you.
Sure, sure.
Because we have on there Microsoft Essentials and Malware, Bytes Anti-Malware.
Yes, good,
and
good.
AVG.
And AVG,
now,
okay.
Is that, do they fight each other, or is that not a problem?
Guys?
Well, the AVG and the Microsoft Security Essentials will fight each other. The Malware Bytes, I think, only will do, depending on which version you have, will only do something when you tell it to do it. So, in my opinion, if it was me, I would probably take the AVG off and just use Microsoft Security Essentials and then only use Malware Bytes when you have issues that come up that require you to clean up malware.
It's a malware hunter.
Okay.
All right. So if something pops up, suddenly you're getting all these pop-ups or something else happens strange on there. That's when Ed would say, for instance, run Malware Bytes. And that's what we have the link to
But the fact that you even knew enough to ask that question, I think that is that's good for you.
Good for you.
He's beyond 101 on that. Yeah. We're going to move him up to 102 on this one.
Good job. Well,
don't get too pleased. I got other questions here.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
The other one I have is Microsoft Essentials icon on the bottom of my screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it's been off, television's off, it comes up and it shows red on there. So I punch it and up there it says, your Microsoft Security Essentials has been turned off. Turn it back on.
Okay.
So it's doing it every time. And I'm wondering if it's bad that somebody's using that to
It may be because of the AVG. Okay. Once you go into your uninstall programs and uninstall AVG, What you'll have to do is power down, power back up, power it down one more time, and then power it back up. And it should you shouldn't have to do this. This is kind of an old trick, but it's just in case. So what happens is AVG is running in the background. So when you uninstall it, it won't uninstall the certain components of the program that are actively engaged.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you power it down, you haven't uninstalled it yet. You power it back up, and it says, oh, these things aren't supposed to be here. That's why, now they're able to be uninstalled. In fact, they're going to be uninstalled as soon as you power down again. So you power down again, and you power back up.
And when he's saying power down, he's not talking hitting the power button. He's saying shutting down the computer and restarting it. Yes.
Right. And Ed, basically, it means turning the computer off completely.
No. I'm talking about restarting the. I'm not talking about hitting the power button.
You're right.
We're talking, and Gary's suggesting hitting start, shut down, or start. Or, you know, hit the start button and
restart.
And selecting restart.
A matter of fact, if I can intercede, I think now, Gary, when you do uninstall AVG, it will tell you to restart the computer. And when you push the button, it'll restart it for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right, actually. Thank you.
Done.
And then what happens is that Microsoft Security Essentials will probably reassert itself.
Right.
If not, you want to click on that icon that you described so that it can then say, Microsoft Security Essentials has been disabled. Would you like to re-enable it again?
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, you're going to select yes.
And the reason the red thing is popping up is because you've got two antivirus programs on the computer at the same time. And folks, this is why we suggest you only have one, whichever one you want, one, because they do battle in the background. And what happened was ABG says, I'm not going to let you play. It's I'm in charge here. And so it shut down Microsoft Security.
And actually, it's because they do contest for certain resources. AVG is there, it's saying, look, if I don't shut you down, you know, both of us aren't going to work very well.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's
what
why
I thought was happening,
down.
Really.
Yeah.
I just didn't
that's
understand
right.
it.
Yep.
One more.
One more. When I turn on my computer, it'll come up in the left-hand box. It says ATT UConn, and I use Internet Explorer as my search engine. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So when I go down to hit the UConn for icon for Internet Explorer, it will say enter your information, no password, and all that stuff. I put it in, and it will say information incorrect or some whatever they say, it doesn't pass. So I just go back and do it all over again. The second time I do it, it goes right through. So I'm doing it twice, and I don't understand why I have to do it twice.
I think the reason is when you click it the first time, you're going to wait. Give it about, 15 to 30 seconds, and then put in your information and click OK, because I think what's happening is it's trying to establish the internet connection, and then what happens is that when you put it in immediately, it doesn't have the internet connection, so it comes back rejected. By the time you put it in the second time, you have the internet connection, and so it can validate it.
Well, first I wanted to ask, what was the icon again? You said UConn?
Yeah, but I meant icon.
Oh, yeah, icon. Okay. Yeah. And you said it was ATP icon. What is that?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't speak clearly. It's Internet Explorer.
Oh, Internet Explorer.
Oh,
okay. So how do you
get the icon comes up.
Yes.
And when you click on the icon, that's when you get these messages.
Okay.
Yes, right.
So how do you get your internet? Is it cable? Is it DSL?
It's cable. It's UVerse.
You got UVerse.
No. UVerse.
Okay, so it will is there a checkbox in there save the information for your ID and password? Because I didn't think if I use AT&T UVerse, it should be challenging me for an ID and password. I just don't think that should.
Unless he's got an old dial-up interface in there.
No, I don't think that. I'm wondering if it isn't this battle between the two antivirus programs, because it's going out to the internet, and AVG may be stepping in and trying to intercept that connection.
Well, what's the home page that it comes up when you click on it?
The whole page, AT&T background.
Okay, it goes to the AT&T
page. So it might be authenticating for his email, possibly, and maybe he's going right into his email every time. I mean, we're speculating on this.
Yeah.
That's a good speculation, though.
Yeah.
So what we would suggest, Don, then, is go through the process we talked about of getting rid of the AVG.
Okay.
And stick with the Microsoft Security Essentials. Once you've done that kind of flushing out the system, you've got the Microsoft Security Essentials there, so you don't have to worry about making sure that you're protected because it's there.
Okay.
That may straighten out a bunch of these things.
Sounds
and if it doesn't and you need some more help with another thing, then what I would suggest you do is go to our website, internetadvisor.net, and then hit the Contact Us button and send us an email, and we'll work on it from there. But these things should help.
You helped a great deal.
When you click on that icon, are you doing that to read your mail?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you're right, Ed.
Yeah,
I think
that is right.
All right, good.
Don, thank you very much. I hope we helped you.
You did. Thank you very much.
All right, very good. And by the way, for any of you out there think you're a computer 101, you just heard some very good questions that are being asked that actually, I think, can help a lot of people out there. So please don't hesitate to ask those questions. We still have about 15 minutes left. Our number is 800-859-0957. That's, again, 800-859-0957. I know, Ed, you and Cal along the years have worked on putting things in our toolkit in particular that can help people out. Eddie, what are some of the things that are in there in the toolkit?
Well, we got free antivirus software, of course, malicious scanners, and something I've been using quite a bit on most all the computers is bootable USB media and bootable live CDs. So when my computer's non-functional, I can at least boot into an operating system so I could save my data.
Absolutely. So lots of great resources there. Go to internetadvisor.net and click on the toolkit. Jeff from Waterford, we will be with you in just a moment and with you out there. Well, this has been a wild ride, a delightful one. And Gary, although we did 4 hours at one time, 3 is feeling pretty good.
This is about right, I think.
I think it's fun.
We always get out of here after 2 hours thinking, oh, wish there were a little more. Now we got a little more. This is great.
I was going to say, and if we continue having excellent guests like last time.
Oh, yeah, oh, really wonderful. And our best guests are right now waiting online to talk with us. So let's get back in and say hello to Jeff from Waterford. Thank you, Jeff, for hanging online there. And how could we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
I got a problem with my computer. Okay. I was on some website, and I think it was some kind of news website, and I wanted to click on a video.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, a thing popped up that said I would need to update, I believe it was Adobe Acrobat Reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, click on this to do that. So, and I've updated that before, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times in all the years, you know?
Oh, yeah, and often frequently.
yeah, it's annoying. And so I clicked on it, and I guess I wasn't paying attention, and I got yelled at for doing this before. And instead of just going ahead with what they suggest that I should install or mm-hmm. click or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I went ahead and I didn't do the manual install. I just let them do it, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I got, inundated with banners and ads and stuff. I mean, it was insane. I'm trying to get on eBay, and I'm looking at my eBay page, and then all of a sudden a banner on the right, banner on the top, banner on the bottom, covering up two-thirds of the page. And I can't even
Jeff, see the sheet. You got hit by a bogus site, it sounds like. Ed, you want to start this?
Yeah, there's a lot of sites that do this, and they're using Adobe's name.
Yes.
And you must update your Adobe Flash Player if you want to watch this. And that site has either been hijacked, or the link you clicked on was hijacked, or the advertisement was hijacked, or you somehow got to a site you shouldn't have been on. And the quickest way I've done this is, first, I always download Malwarebytes and see if that will eliminate it. But another quick way of doing this, what version of Windows are you running? Is it Windows 7 or Windows 8?
It's 7 Home Premium.
Yep. Okay. So if you go into Control Panel under Programs and Features, you have the ability to sort all your programs. By default, they're alphabetized. But you have the ability to go to the right-hand column and sort by the date.
Mm.
And what you'll do is you'll sort by the date so that the, January whatever of 2015 is at the top, and you can then find out what programs were installed. Like, I didn't install Toolbar Helper Scanner whatever it may be. You can uninstall.
That's in your control panel.
This is in your control panel, Programs and Features. Sort your programs and features by date, and then you'll see what programs have been installed in the last several days or weeks, you should be able to remember which ones are legitimate. Okay. Uninstall all those. Then download Malwarebytes from our website, or you can go to malwarebytes.org or go to the internetadvisor.net website, and then on the top there we have our toolkit, mm-hmm. and we do provide a list for the a safe download site for malwarebytes.org right. in case you don't know how to spell it. That should take care of your problem.
Yeah. Now, I think the important thing here, Jeff, is you didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
Right.
You happened to hit a poison site. But folks, are you listening? It said Adobe Update. Adobe sounds very important, very official. It still is probably, it was called a phishing attack. It's using what looks like is legitimate but isn't. So, guys, how can we prevent people from getting nailed like this?
Well, and he said it at the beginning. He should have thought about this and not downloaded by the site he was at and go to Adobe.com directly right. and un-download the reader. He alluded to that when he was discussing. Yes. And he's like, one of those, you know, slap your head to your forehead moments.
Yeah.
Oh, what did I do? I knew better than this.
Jeff,
I've almost been tricked into
Jeff, how long
this.
Ago did this happen?
A couple days ago.
Now, the other thing, too, Eddie, is, well, you can do the system restore.
Yeah. If the steps I have described fail, then you can always use the Windows 7 system restore capability.
And you know how to do that?
Pardon me?
Do you know how to do that?
No.
Go to the bottom of your page, click on where the start button is down there. You'll find a little box that you can type in system restore. And it'll bring up the link then to the system restore, and what it'll have a little wizard there. It'll step you through how you can go back to a previous time when this was not affecting your computer, restore your computer to that time. That should fix the problem as well. That's another way of doing it. Okay.
I see it right now. I pulled it up.
Good.
That's
good.
Very helpful.
All right. So
I'm also looking in my uninstall program or uninstall or change a program page here and going down the list, and I see that I have Malwarebytes anti-malware version 2.0.
Good. Okay, good. So you've got it on board.
That's quite old, though.
Oh, is it version 2.0?
Well, he needs to click on it and update it.
Yeah, and once you click on it, it will update. It'll say, do you want to update? And you definitely do want to update, and it'll get the definitions. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take those steps, and we hope they work for you. And if you have more problems, again, go to internetadvisor.net and go online there and give us an email. We'll help you further. Tommy in West Bloomfield, how are you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Pretty good, guys, and thanks for a great show. I really enjoy listening to you. It is knock-em-out stuff.
It's been a ball. You have a question about your iPad, too.
I'm helping my niece out tonight, I hope. Yeah, she has an iPad 2 that runs on 3G. It's hooked up through Verizon, so she has it. Her internet access is through her iPad 2 through Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd do a good deed for her and update it. And when I did, she went to go back to try and go online, and it says no connection to the internet. So I'm a little befuddled. I thought maybe if I went into settings, and maybe it's still on access. Through something else. I really am throwing my hands up in the air. I don't know what to do.
Well, okay, the first thing, at the very top of her screen up in the upper left-hand corner, does it currently say Verizon and show a number of bars?
It does.
Okay, great. So if you go into Safari on that machine, can you go out to the internet?
No, as soon as she hits Safari, after I did, by the way, I did this after this upgrade. And so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so now she hits Safari, and it says internet connection not available.
Okay, if you go into settings, is it set to be in airplane mode right now?
No, but it's still on Wi-Fi.
Okay, so let's turn Wi-Fi off.
Okay.
And that should force it to go to the cellular network and then try to go into Safari and see if you can get onto the internet now.
He has to turn Wi-Fi back on then, right?
After he doesn't want Wi-Fi on at all. He wants to turn it off.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, great. All right, good.
Is it working?
Let's try that.
Is it working?
I'd like to tell you that, but I'm in a different area than you.
Oh, I got you.
Right
okay,
now.
Good.
You know, Cal, I seem to remember that when we were going through these upgrades that we had a number of issues with, was it the wireless that stopped working or the cellular provider stopped working after the upgrades? Wasn't there like
iOS 8 did have problems, so it's now iOS 8.1?
Well, it should be, I think it's 8.2 now.
Yeah,
8.1.2.
So I just wanted to make 1.1 was the one that knocked everything.
Okay, so if she hasn't been upgraded for a while, I'm just, so the only thing that would have been downloaded would have been the 8.2 then.
It would take her directly to 8.2.
I just wanted to make sure that the poison pill was gone. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it did. It upgraded as slow as our Congress.
At least it did something.
Hey, there you go. A little more than Congress has done. Hey, Tommy, thank you very much. I hope you're helping out your niece.
We're doing great. Thanks, guys.
Okay, good. Have a good new year. Well, folks, that wraps up our great program here. It's been a wonderful one talking about innovation.
We still want to do more. Three hours isn't enough.
I know. We still have more time
Internet
for questions.
The Internet Advisor Telethon is on the air.
Next week, we are going to be preempted by a Michigan State University basketball game, but we will still be doing our program. So please visit us at internetadvisor.net. We will have a two-hour podcast there next week. This week's program, our three-hour podcast, will be available on Sunday nights by going to internetadvisor.net. Thanks very much to Mike Stett and Eric Dorsch and all the rest of you.